1 John chapter 1, page 778 in your pew Bible. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Let's pray. Father, here we are this morning, and I've been reminded, Father, this morning as I have sat here and as J.D. was bringing the devotion, what a privilege it is, Father, to be able to be here. What a privilege it is to have the anticipation that Simeon had, Father, for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, to have an anticipation this morning that we might meet with you, that you would speak to us, that we would be found together, gathered together as your people, Father, loving one another and having prayed for one another throughout the week and able today to have fellowship with one another and to be able to encourage one another and uplift one another, Father, and seek to be a help to one another. What a joy this time ought to be unto each and every one of us. And Father, this morning, if any of us are found here with our hearts dull to that, and with our hearts not, Father, inflamed and burning, Father, with that anticipation and desire, Father, help us. Help us and give us the kind of spirit and the kind of anticipation, the kind of desire, Father, to be here this morning in that frame of mind and in that spirit, like J.D. was talking to us about this morning. What spirit are we in here this morning? How did we come? What are we looking for? Are we just here? Are we just sitting, Father, as I've heard many preach unto me before and say, just like a bump on a log? Father, are we come alive? Are we come desirous? Are we come anticipating the living Word of God to be made manifest unto us and revealed unto us? Father, remove every obstacle to that. Remove everything that would keep us from being able to be lifted up, Father, and caught up this morning into the message. These words that we're reading, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Father, what words ought to move us to immense proportions? Father, if they do not, then do we know you? Are we born again, Father? Ought we ought to examine ourselves? Where are we today? What has overcome us that would cause us to, our spirits to be dampened such that we find ourselves this morning and not, Father, be just caught up into, as it were, almost as close as any of us have known, perhaps, into that place that Paul described as a third heaven. Father, help us to reach, Father, to a higher plateau, like J.D. and Mike and I were talking about back to this morning, than we are presently today. Help us to grow in grace. Help us to increase in our understanding of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love that passes knowledge. Father, that we may know Him and know Him more and further, and know You more and further than we have today, than we did yesterday. That today we might be able to know You more, and tomorrow be able to go throughout the rest of this week Father, in the light of that, encouraged by that, Father, help us. We need Your Spirit. We need to be quickened. We need our ears to be, and our hearts to be, and our minds to be sharp. We need Your Word to be a two-edged sword this morning, to enter in and pierce, Father, and divide asunder, and cause us to be able to stand, Father, upon Your truth and in this light, and to be a light unto those, Father, in this dark world around us. Oh, we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. I don't know about you, but more than once this morning, I've already felt something just trying to dampen, you know, the joy of being here today, the joy of being found here today, the joy of being found amongst the brethren, the joy of being able to hear God's Word proclaimed, that can happen, and how we need to pray against that and seek the Lord to overcome it. Well, this morning, here we've been going through these verses. In verses 1 through 5, and here just this amazing declaration unto us in the beginning verses of this chapter about the Word, and the Word being with God, and the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by Him. And then last week, the life and the light of men, and the light shining in the darkness, and the darkness comprehending it not. And just this surge that's kind of carrying us forward from verse number 1 all the way to verse number 6, and then it seems like we have this sixth verse come in, and it's almost like there's a change of gears. And, you know, looking back there at Jim, he was telling me last Wednesday about these cars, you know, that he's had when he was younger, and I'm sure it happened to him at some time in his experience in driving these cars. You kind of missed a deer. You know, there you were shifting, you had it in first, the tires are spinning, smoking, and then you hit second and you missed third, you know, and it just doesn't seem to flow. And that's the sort of thing, just kind of using that as an illustration, that we see here. I know that makes perfect sense to Jim. It may not to some of you, especially the ladies. I don't know any of you. Emily, were you ever one to get in your car and just put it in first gear and floorboard it and squeal the tires? No, I didn't think so. Guys know that. Guys understand that. Girls just don't get it, I guess. And you know, Teresa, when you were sitting in the seat next to me, like, well, you know, what are you doing? Where are you going now? But we have this. I mean, it's going through these gears here in these first five verses. We hit, you know, first gear, second gear, third gear, fourth gear, fifth gear, and then we get to verse number 6. It's like, wait a second. Here we were being carried along with the Word, was with God, the Word was God, and the Word made all things, and the Word was, or in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And then verse number 6 says that there was a man named John. It's just kind of like, you get that impression yourself? I mean, when you read it, there was a man sent from God, his name was John. You see what I'm saying? We're rolling along with these five verses, and then all of a sudden there's this guy named John. You know, where did he come from? You know, why is he in the middle of these verses? It's kind of like a parenthesis almost that enters in here. And it's kind of an abrupt thing that comes into the reading of what we've been looking at in the first five verses. But, you know, it's been 400 years since the last prophet before John comes on the scene. 400 years since there was a prophet that was foretelling of the coming of Christ. And here we have this man that has the very unique opportunity and privilege of all the other prophets. He's the one who's on the scene whenever Christ comes into the world. You know, J.D.'s already kind of set that before us this morning, you know, with Simeon and holding our Lord and Savior, holding the Word made flesh, you know, in His arms. I mean, can you imagine that? Holding, as it were, the very God of heaven who came to this earth to live and to give Himself for us that we might have life. and have it more abundantly. So here we have this man, and it does make sense. It does make sense. And if you've been through these verses before and been through a study of John, then you've jumped that hurdle. And it's not a leap for you. It's not something that's like, well, why is John the Baptist being introduced here and John's gospel after these first five verses, why does he come into verse number 6 and, you know, introduce him in this place? Like I said, if you've been through it before, you know, then you've connected the dots, you know, already. But you know, for some others, we're gonna have to connect those dots this morning, you know, for you. But it's not strange, because we have this description of the Word before the beginning of time. And then we have this description of the Word having made all things, and in Him being life, and the life being the light of men, and the light shining in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. So we have in verse number 5, the prophet that God sent to be a herald, as it were, to bring the proclamation, as it were, of this that we've been looking at in the first five verses of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself being made flesh and being manifest unto us and coming in amongst us into this world. And John was the one who had the responsibility to proclaim that light had come into the world. The light is here. The light's been made manifest. So it's not a strange entry. It really makes sense when you think about it. Here he is as the introducer, as it were, the heralder, as it were, the proclaimer, or as we read in verse number 7, the witness. You know, here we call him John the witness. We know he was a baptizer, but he was a witness. A witness to the fact, a witness of the fact that Christ not is coming as much as has come was his responsibility. And I think the major theme as we look at this morning, kind of stretching ahead towards the body of the message and the length of the message, is that here's this man who came to be a light. Not the light, but who came to be a light of Christ's entry into this world. And we are really no less than the same. We have really the same occupation. We really have the same vocation. We really have the same responsibility. We really have the same testimony of John. He's here. Christ has come. And even more than that, that He's coming once again. And we have the responsibility to shine as lights. You think about this man. He shone brightly. I mean, as brightly as any that we see of any of the characters in Scripture, that we have in Scripture. He shone as brightly as any. All, to the point that there were some that came to Him and said, "Are you Him? Are you the light?" And He had to tell them over and over again, "No, I'm not the light. You know, I came to bear witness of that light, but I'm not the light." He was more like the moon, wasn't he? The moon reflects the light, doesn't it? And that's what the moon does. It doesn't have any light of its own. It reflects the light. And that's really what we are. We are like the moon, shining from the sun, shining from the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what John was. He came into the world and he was this intense reflection, this intense reflection of the Lord, heralding His coming into the world. And he was sent from God, we read here. A man sent from God for this purpose. He was sent from God to be a witness and to be a light and to shine brightly, a reflection of that light, and to shine brightly amongst men. He came for the purpose, verses 7 and 8 tell us, of witnessing or testifying, that he might testify concerning the light in order that everyone through him might come to believe. He didn't claim to be that light. He professed and pointed out to the fact that he wasn't. We read in 1 John 1:20, it says he confessed and denied not, but confessed, "I am not the Christ, but I've come to bear witness of him." So the purpose of John the Baptist's testimony was that through him everyone might come to believe. And as we look at ourselves as being, in a sense, I guess you could say, disciples of John, in a sense, not the same sense in which we see, you know, those that were disciples of John in Scripture, but in the sense of being disciples of the same order that he was, disciples of Christ would be better, but that we have that same responsibility. We have that same opportunity. And we have that same privilege that he had to shine, that others might come to believe through our testimony, through our witness. That's what it says about him there in verse number 7. "The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe." That's what he came for. So that was the purpose of John the Baptist's testimony, was that through him everyone might come to believe. To believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. To believe upon him. So his intention, our intention, my intention, your intention, as we live among the people, we seek to be the reflection of this light. Our intention is that others might embrace Christ by a living faith. Now, we understand that verses 12 and 13 have all the bearing upon this, that it's not because of my light and because of me, or because of what words I may use, because of my power of persuasion, that men are going to come to believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. We understand that as verses 12 and 13 talk about, it's a power that God gives. It's an ability that God gives for a person to be able to come, become the sons of God. "We're not born of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man," verse 13 tells us, "but of God." It is something that God does. It's a birth that God causes to come to pass. You know, I was brought into this world the first time because of him. But I was born dead. Dead towards God. With a dead heart towards God. And I didn't care about the things of God. But he's come, and I've been born yet again by him, by his power. And we understand that that is necessary as we bear witness to that light, as we bear witness to Christ, that that take place. John 20, verse 31 says, "But these things are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name." So here we are, like John, we have this tremendous responsibility to be a light. To be a light. And really, you're called to be a light. Here's how impossible your task is in and of yourself. You're called to be a light unto blind people. I don't know how many of you saw earlier. I don't know if it was a distraction to JD. As soon as I saw her doing it, I yanked her, you know, back up here and put her on the front pew with me. But Anna had this band on her head this morning, and she stuck it. She turned around and looked right at Brother Mike and Sister Doreen, and she had it across her face, and she's doing this. And I'm thinking, get up here and sit down. You know. But these blind people all around us, that here we are, and we're holding this light before them. How many blind people do you know can see light? They can't. Unless God gives them eyes to see, they cannot see. But here we are holding the light and saying, "Look at the light, look at the light," to a person who is blind. They really are. They're blind. So we look at this man and we see something of what those around him saw. In Matthew 11 and verse 11, It says, verily, our Lord says this, verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist, notwithstanding he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. There was something that John came to see. There was something that John came, saw come to pass as a prophet before Christ, though a very short time before Christ. He was born just a few months before the Lord was. But John saw the realization, John saw the revelation of something that those other prophets could only foretell of. They could only foretell of. He had this tremendous privilege of being the one prophet in the end of that succession and line of prophets who would be alive upon the face of the earth whenever our Lord would even enter into his ministry. So John had a little more light than what those prophets before him had, because they could only foretell of, they could only wonder when, they could only say that this will be the place, this will be the time, we'll be able to see the David, all these different things. But John actually was there and saw him and even touched him. He says, our hands have handled, touched him. I know John's gospel is the one that's saying that, but John the Baptist actually touched him. You know, something that the others could only talk about. And so as we see this, and I know some other things there, and I'm not preaching on that verse there in Matthew 11:11. You know, maybe we'll get there later on, but there's some other things there as in regards to John the Baptist. Not preaching a sermon this morning necessarily on John the Baptist, but the fact that he was a witness to that light. That's the thing that we see here. But I know there's some other things there in what's being said, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. But suffice it to say, with what we're looking at, that man saw something that those other prophets, did not. And he is an example of what we are to be as regards our testimony and the shining that we are to be to those around us. But he had the privilege of showing forth the fulfillment of all that which those prophets that came before him prophesied would come to pass. He pointed out that Christ has now come. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world, which they can only tell that he would come. And as he had this greater revelation, we look at that second half of that verse in Matthew 11:11. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And so here we are. There was John the Baptist in comparison to those prophets. Here he was, saw things they didn't see. Here we are. Further on down, J.D. was talking about that sermon that Brother Mark preached, and that measuring rod, that tape measure is drawn out a little bit further. He preached at camp one time. Here we are, that tape measure has been drawn out a little further. And here we are, and we have seen things, and we have understood things that John the Baptist didn't understand and didn't see. You know, we've come to greater revelations than, isn't that amazing to think about? You think about Simeon, there he was, J.D. was talking about him holding, our Lord. Now I can depart in peace. Now I can die in peace. I have seen the salvation of God. I have seen my Savior. I have seen the Savior of men. He came to that revelation. And yet think about some of the things that the prophets, I think, what is that in 1 Peter? Yeah, I put it down here. 1 Peter 11 through 16, where it says, searching what the prophets were, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them. There's Simeon. You were talking about that, brother, this morning, that the Holy Spirit had told Simeon that he wouldn't die until he had seen the Lord's Christ. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us. Some of these things that we read and understand in the Old Testament because of the light of the New Testament that they couldn't see, they didn't fully understand, that we've come to realize not because we're smarter than anybody else, but because of the time and the day and the age in which we live, as that tape measure has been drawn further out, and we're on the other side of the cross, and we've seen some of what all of those things meant, what they mean. What they were shadows. They were types. But we've seen the fulfillment of those things on this side. So here we are. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, same way that they understood the things they understood and said the things they said because the Spirit of God spoke to them. So also the reason we understand is this tape measure has been drawn further out. We understand these things that we've understood. It's no different. By the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. You know, there's further revelation. See, throughout this life, we're going to grow in grace. Throughout this life, we're going to grow in the knowledge of the Lord. And then, even at the end of that, when we see Him, at the end of that, when we are there with Him in eternity forever and ever and ever, how much further that tape measure? I know mine's 25 foot. And it gets to the end, it makes that noise. But there is no end with this. There is no end with these things. I mean, the understanding, I mean, it's limitless. How are you going to measure that? The revelation that we will come unto. I mean, God's thoughts being higher than the heavens are than the earth, His ways being that high. You know, how are you going to measure something like that? But so here we are, and I think is the sense in which, notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. I think that's somewhat of what's being said there. You know, to us here this morning as we look at these things. So we stand on the other side of John, who heralded the coming of Christ, who stood on the other side of those prophets who foretold of His coming, and see things that he did not see. How privileged we are. John wasn't permitted, in other words, we can put it in this way too, John wasn't permitted to see the promise of the Father come. He wasn't permitted to see the pouring out of God's Spirit on the day of Pentecost. There's a saying among the Jews that I read about that says this, that even the servant maid, you know, the lowest of these people that crossed through the Red Sea, he says, even the servant maid that passed through the Red Sea saw what neither Ezekiel nor any of the other prophets had seen. You know, you imagine that? I mean, to pass through upon dry land across the Red Sea. You know, she saw something there that had never been seen before. You know? And so also we have that same sort of an experience. But here we have this man in verse number 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. You know, and you and I are that person, in a sense, that has been sent into this generation. I don't remember the words, all the words, but there's something that I gave, that we gave to Ryan for one of his birthdays. That's in the house there. I think it's in the boys' bathroom.